Well, it's Tuesday. That means I'm here. You got me for an hour. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So glad that you are listening. You may be listening on your way home from work. You're listening online at WRJZ.com, or you're listening on podcasts in the future. And either way, no matter how you're listening, we certainly appreciate it. We appreciate your support of Hope Resource Center and, of course, this station and all of our partners. And we are excited about today. What I'm going to do today is talk about we're going to talk about parenting. And the reason that I want to start there is because at Hope Resource Center, we're certainly pro-life, and we have looked at that and what that means and talked about that, and we'll continue to talk about that. But what I want to do today is focus on, okay, we are pro-life. It isn't just for the patients that come to Hope Resource Center. Our pro-life ethic must then not only drive us to support those that are in need and find themselves in crisis, but it also must drive the way we act in our homes, the way we parent our kids. Why are we encouraging people to be parents? Why do I have a 6-year-old and a soon-to-be 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and at times my 6-year-old son and then my soon-to-be 4-year-old little girl, especially her, she's already thinking, you know, Daddy, how many kids can I have? How many, you know? And so that's not a, obviously we don't go deep into that conversation at 4, but the point is she's already thinking about parenting. And where is she learning how to parent? Who is modeling that for her? Well, me and her mom, we are modeling that for her, whether that is good or bad. She is watching what we are doing, and she's going, okay, this is how you parent children. This is how you love your children. And so if we handle that well, that's a win for everyone. She grows up, and she has a great model in front of her. If we handle that poorly, and we're all sinners and broken and struggling, there's going to be times where we do. But if our effort is not there and all we do is poor parenting, then the model that's been laid for her is one of poor parenting. So today I want to focus on godly parenting, a call to be good stewards. We are called to be a good steward of this gift. And even in our pro-life world, in our work at Hope Resource Center, we believe that every life is a gift. And so the life that's inside the womb, that life that that ends up coming out of the womb, the life of the mom carrying that baby, every life is a gift. Everyone created in the image of God. So they have value and they matter. And so if we believe that every life is a gift, then that means that my kids, my 3 kids, are a gift to me and my wife. And so if they are a gift, then what are you to do with a gift? You are to be a good steward of that gift. I mean, we've seen this our entire lives. When someone gave us a gift growing up, when someone gives you a gift now, when someone gives a gift to Hope Resource Center, what do? We are to be good stewards of that. So we thank them. We take care of that gift. We cultivate that gift if it's that type of gift. So the same should be with our children. We should be a people that say, our child is a gift from the creator of the universe, the sovereign creator of the universe. He has given me this gift. I am to now be a good steward of that gift. And I bring this up today because I attended a thing called Quiet Waters last week at Two Rivers Church. Out west, it's technically in Lenore City, but right on the Knoxville-Lenore City border. And it was a moment, Two Rivers put it on, and it goes for 2 days. And the point is to get quiet, to get alone, to find retreat, and to pray, and to listen. And so you're not just praying, you're not just calling out to God, but you're also just sitting there and listening for what God may have for you. And for whatever reason, I was sitting there, and my kids came to my mind. And so I started thinking about Gavin. I started thinking about Summer. I started thinking about Evelyn, the 3 kids that the Lord has blessed me with. And so in that process of thinking about them, I began to think, wow, out of everyone to ever walk the face of this planet, in times past, and even looking forward, out of everyone to ever walk the face of this planet, God said, Andrew will be the dad to Gavin. Andrew will be the dad to Summer. Andrew will be the dad to Evelyn. Think about how heavy that is. He could have picked anyone. And now think about this. There will never be another Gavin Wood, my son. There will never be another one with the same DNA, with the same structure, with the same fingerprint, with the same anything. There will never be another one of him made. And I could say that about all my kids. I could say that about me. And so God created in his amazing character, created these kids, my kids, as a one-time thing. There will never be another one of them. And in creating them, he then goes further and says, you know who's going to take care of these kids? Andrew and Aaron, they're going to take care of these kids. Now put that in your own life. Think about that in your own life. If you have kids, maybe you don't have kids. And you're thinking, well, how does that apply to me? Well, God created and planned everything. And so when I was hit with that heaviness this past week on Friday, I sent a text to a friend of mine who just found out she was pregnant and has been trying with her husband for years and just thought all was lost. And now she's 9, 10 weeks pregnant. And I just texted her and said, out of everybody that's ever walked this planet, God chose you to carry this child right now in 2017. What an amazing truth. But what a scary truth. I mean, if that doesn't bring some type of fear inside of you, then you haven't really thought about it. But that's like the one-of-a-kind heirloom that gets passed from generation to generation. There will never be another one made like that. And you've been entrusted to take care of that until you are unable to take care of it, until you take your last breath. But even more so important are our kids, who God has said, I'm never going to make another one of these like this. With this particular structure, with this particular DNA, with this particular blood type, with these particular dreams, with these particular thoughts, with these he is saying, I'm never going to make another one like this. And guess what? I want you, broken, fallen human being, to raise this child. That is a heavy, heavy, scary truth. A very humbling truth. Which should move us and motivate us even more so to be good stewards of that gift. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all lollipops and roses at our house, because believe me, it's not. Sometimes I'm an idiot and I yell at my kids and I act a fool and I'm not very grace-filled and I do discipline wrong and I overlook things and I spend too much time on my phone or I spend too much time watching TV and I'm not taking care of the kids the way I need to be taken care of. But if we don't recognize the truth being that they were a gift for us, if we don't get that right, then we're going to get a lot of things wrong. And again, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You are going to fail as a parent. Let's just get that out of the way. You probably did today. And you may tonight. And you probably will fail them at some point tomorrow. But is the effort there? Are we recognizing the gift that God has given us? You see, that's why we are pro-life. That is why we open the doors at Hope Resource Center. It's not simply just to see more babies be born. It's not just to see abortion clinics close. But it's to point to the truth that these babies are gifts. And it points to the truth that not just these babies, but at one point we were those babies. And we were a gift to a parent. And now you may be listening to that and saying, well, my parents sure really didn't act like it. And I'm sorry for that. But again, we have to understand this truth. There is a reason why. Even those that don't believe in the God of the universe, even those that don't believe in any kind of spirituality, how do they explain that there will never be another one of you made? You mean to tell me that just happens out of coincidence? And so if we believe that to be true, and that people were made in God's image, then our kids are certainly made in that image and are certainly gifts. And so what do we do with that gift? And so at Hope Resource Center, what we see is we see some folks recognize that gift and they want to parent that child. Some folks recognize that gift and their way of being a good steward of that gift is choosing an adoption plan that then allows for that child to be loved by a family that may not be able to have their own kids, a family that may not be able to get pregnant. And so choosing an adoption plan can certainly point to being a good steward of the gift that God has given you. So there isn't just a cookie cutter answer to that, but there is certainly a heaviness that we have to recognize. And so the reason that I bring all of this up is because parenting is very important. Even in the midst of broken marriages, parenting is very important. You always hear when people say, when they talk about divorce, you go, do you have any kids? That's where it's going to be tough. Because that's true. Because we see these kids as a gift. How are we going to be good stewards of that gift? Even when we are facing our own brokenness, even when we are facing our own struggles and our own trials and our own issues, that doesn't change the fact that we have these kids. I could get the flu tomorrow. It doesn't change the fact that my kid has to get dressed and get to school. It doesn't change the fact that my one-year-old has to be fed and has to be clothed and has to be changed, flu or no flu. And so as we walk through this and as we look at the larger scope of what is being pro-life, at times I think we leave this part out. That's why right now as I speak, we are having parenting classes at Hope Resource Center. Because parenting is a gift. These children are a gift. It's a blessing. So how are we going to be good stewards of the gifts we've been given? How are we going to love well? How are we going to serve well? How are we going to raise these kids up so that they will then have a good model for their kids and how they're going to parent their children, how they're going to be good stewards of that? But that's what we have to grapple with. And so the rest of the hour, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some ways of doing that. We're going to look at how Abraham did that with Isaac. How was he a good steward of that gift? We're going to look at our homes and disciple as being disciple-making factories. How are we seeing our home as a mission field when our kids are living right down the hallway? We're going to look at how we invest in our kids and how we parent them. So these are just a few things. We only have so much time here, but what we're going to do is we're going to tackle this and we're going to walk through parenting and we're going to celebrate the gift that God has given us. And we're going to talk about struggles, but ultimately we're going to get back to a place where we're saying, this is a gift that I need to steward well. So how do I do that? And the author showed us. We'll be back. I know we can shine like crazy. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. To learn more about Hope, you can find us on all the social media outlets. And also, you can go to our website, investinghope.com. Would love to partner with you in some way. So if you want to learn more about us, go to investinghope.com. Got a new blog out today, and we'll have this podcast up at some point during this week as well. So we're talking about parenting today. And so what does that look like? What does that have to do with being pro-life? So if our pro-life ethic says that every life has value, every life, every human is an image bearer, so that means everybody we come in contact with is an image bearer, then that certainly means that the children that God has given us are image bearers, and we need to steward them well. And so as we look at that, there are a number of examples within Scripture that we can look at. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time exegeting the text, but what we are going to look at is just a couple of examples, Abraham and Isaac. So Abraham and Sarah prayed for a son. They wanted a child, and they weren't able to have one for a long time. Then they finally get Isaac. So if anyone could argue ownership of a child or desire ownership, it would certainly be Abraham and Sarah. They would have been perfect helicopter parents. And if you don't know what that means overly protected. They just kind of hover over their children. They don't let their children out of their sight. They don't allow their children to kind of do anything freeing. They just hover over them and are helicopter parents. They're involved in everything. I worked for years at the University of Tennessee, and I was working with college-age students. So these are, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, but certainly able to or should be able to do their own thing, and you would be amazed at the amount of parents that would do everything for these college-age kids. So what we had was we had all these kids coming to college that didn't know how to set up a bank account. They didn't know how to have a conversation and look you in the eye. They didn't know how to shake your hand. They didn't know how to do that because they were raised with helicopter parents that wouldn't let them out of their sight and were overly protective. And so Abraham certainly could have done this with Isaac. Why not? I mean, it was he prayed and prayed and prayed for this child, and he finally got this child. Yet Abraham and Sarah knew that Isaac was a blessing. They knew they needed to be a good steward of this gift. But this must have been difficult. I mean, think about how difficult that could have been. I think about some of my friends. I even think about mine and my wife's own situation where we tried for what seemed like a long time to get pregnant in different meetings with doctors and different medications and trying to figure out what's going on. And then we finally got pregnant, and it just was, the emotional roller coaster was just overwhelming. So it's not easy to be a good steward. It's not easy to say, thank you for this gift, but this gift is still yours, God. It's not mine. It's just something you've given me temporary custody of as I need to raise them up to glorify you. So notice Abraham's obedience when he was told that he must sacrifice Isaac. So what this shows us is that he understood that Isaac was not his, but instead he was the Lord's. And so that certainly wasn't easy. That wasn't easy to hear from the Lord, look, you need to sacrifice Isaac. I need you to get some wood together, climb up this hill. And a matter of fact, I need Isaac to carry that wood. Which, if you look at Scripture, what that is pointing to the gospel where the sacrifice would ultimately carry his own cross. Beautiful picture of the gospel right there in the Old Testament that God gave us with Abraham and Isaac. So what we saw was they had every right to be overly protected. They had every right to be helicopter parents. They had every right to look at God and say, no, not my son. You've asked me to do everything, and I've done it all, but you will not take my son. But Abraham didn't do that. He was obedient. And he said, God, if you're calling me to do this, then there must be a greater plan, and I'm going to trust you. And so while they're walking up the hill, Isaac's like, where are we going? What are we doing? We must be sacrificing something. And then it turns out that he is the sacrifice. And right before it happens, God stops him. And God says, you have shown faith today, and I have provided a sacrifice. And then he looks over, and there's a lamb for the sacrifice. A spotless lamb. Again, a beautiful picture of the gospel that God stepped in, the mediator stepped in, that God provided the sacrifice. The spotless lamb to be sacrificed. So that points to the need of a Savior. So what are some dangers of being helicopter parents? We see here that Abraham wasn't a helicopter parent. He was willing
to sacrifice, if that is what God called him to do. What are some dangers of being helicopter parents? Well, you can be overly protective. So in doing that, you're not allowing your child to grow. You're not allowing your child to blossom. So what are some dangers of trying to not be helicopter parents? Because there is a fine line. So when we can either go too far and too aggressive, where we're not allowing our child the freedom that they need to grow and to blossom, or we can be too lazy, where we allow them to rule the roost. What they say goes, or you're not involved, or you don't know what your kid is doing. And so there is a fine line. You don't want to be too distant. At some point, you obviously need to be engaged and involved. So are we to just throw our kids to the world? Throw them to the wolves, as I've heard people say before? You know, these are questions that are not easy. But what we can do is we can practice obedience. So truly be involved and love them. Practice what we preach. So at times I'll watch my kids, and I know what they're about to do is going to cause them to scuff their knee. Excuse me. Or maybe scuff their hand. Or what they're trying to do could trip and they could fall. So at times I'll say, you know, you keep doing that, you may hurt yourself. But I don't push too hard, because they need to know what that's like. And how do we come back from that? When we're playing a game, I don't always let my kid win. Sometimes I do. There needs to be an understanding of winning is really good, but we also need to know how to lose. Not to gloat and to, you know, show them that you're superior, but to say, how do we react when we lose? And that may start with tic-tac-toe. That may start with, little games while they're 6 years old or 4 years old. But what that is teaching them is a model for when they don't get that job, when they get cut from the basketball team, when their high school sweetheart breaks up with them. It's showing them, look, when we win, we don't gloat. We don't brag. We're not arrogant about it. So again, it's important to know how to win and how to lose. So this type of understanding will have us celebrating the growth of our kids and God's call in their life. So we will then watch them grow into young men and young women. And I know that society right now will say, well, gender is fluid and men and women, you know, we want to get away from those terms. Well, no. There's nothing wrong with raising your little boys to be men. There's nothing wrong with raising your little girls to be women. We desire that. And the desire is that you are modeling a form of parenting to the point where they are looking back down the road. You know, in the future, they're going to look back and say, man, if I could just be the dad that my dad is to me, if I could just be the mom that my mom is to me. So would you celebrate your child being called by God into a certain ministry, into a certain work? These are things that we have to understand. At times, it's good to hover a little bit. But at times, it's good to pull back and allow them space and to grow and to feel hurt. Because when we walk through that, then that's going to prepare them down the road. And what that means is you are cultivating and being a good steward of the gift you've been given. And not one that's saying, I'm going to hide this gift. I'm going to protect this gift so much that it will never get away from me and it'll always be mine. That is not what we've been called to do as parents. We'll be back in a sec. Whenever God shine a light on me, He opens up my eyes so I can see. And we're back. Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. And today we are talking and discussing parenting and what that means and what that looks like. If we have a pro-life ethic, if we are ones that say God created every person in His image, then that means that He certainly created our kids in His image. That means that He created us in His image. And that means that parenting them is more than just a going through the motions, but it is a process that we are to take seriously. And so we've looked at this in a number of different ways, and we just looked at Abraham and Isaac in that story, and how being a helicopter parent isn't good, and being a parent that is too lax, too lazy, certainly isn't good. And finding that line and what that line looks like for you may be a little bit different with each of your kids. Maybe some of your kids can have a little bit more freedom. Some of them cannot. And so walking through that and being a good steward of that. And now what we're gonna shift to is, are our homes disciple-making factories? So we're, as believers, we are always talking about the mission field. The mission field is overseas. The mission field is in our backyard. The mission field is in our neighborhood. It's in our churches. It's all around us. It's in the cities. It's in the rural communities. But at times we neglect that our mission field is right down the hall. It's up the stairs. It's our kids. That is a mission field. And so how are we dealing with that? Because if we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, if we believe that every person is created in the image of God, then this means that we parent differently. So are we simply parenting as the world says to parent? Are we parenting as society and culture says to parent? Or, again, are we seeing our children as gifts that we are good stewards of, and are we parenting in ways that are honoring to the Lord? So we must be pouring into their lives. We must keep the word and godly things in their minds. And so at times you'll hear people say, well, I'm not a teacher. You know, I'm going to leave that up to the teachers, or I'm going to leave that up to the church. That's what the youth program's for. That's what the children's program's for. They are there to minister to my kids and teach my kids. That's what the public school is there for. That's what the private school is there for. Well, I'm not a teacher. Well, that's not true. You are teaching your kids all the time. You're teaching them how to react on the road. You're teaching them how to react and interact with the people at the store, how to react and interact with your neighbors. How do you interact and react to your animals at your house? How do you react and interact with your siblings, with your spouse, with your in-laws, with your parents? How do you interact and react to them? All of these moments are teaching moments. I remember the first time we got out of the hospital with Gavin. We were bringing Gavin home. All I could think about was, this is the first time he's ever seen the sky. This is the first time he's ever seen a tree. This is the first time he's ever ridden in a car. This is the first time he's ever seen a road. This is the first time he's ever seen a McDonald's. This is the first time he's ever seen our house, his room, his bed, a pillow. I mean, think about that. That's insane. All the things that they are taking in and learning. And then as they get older, and then you hear them say things and you go, ooh, I taught them that, and that's not a good thing. You see them react and interact with people, maybe with their siblings or with the neighbors, and you go, where'd they learn that? 9 times out of 10, they learned it from you. So that's why those things are important. Are we parents that say, it's not just up to the church to take care of my children. It's not just up to the school to take care of my children. It's up to me. You know, when we get into policy discussions about education and how much money should go to the education department and all of these things, it always goes back. It always goes back to parenting. How much are they doing at home? How much reading are they doing at home? How much interaction do they have with their parents on their studies? And so parenting should be driving all of this. And we need to take it seriously. And so we should treat this as important and be a good steward of this responsibility. And also, we should be expecting questions. Is the atmosphere at your home, is it one that encourages questions? Not necessarily questions of your authority, not, well, why do I have to clean my room? But is it one that is encouraging questions? Well, why does this happen this way? Why does that person act that way? Why did they talk to me that way? Why did you talk to mom that way? Why did you talk to daddy that way? Why did you react that way to my sister, my brother? Why did you react in that way to our neighbor? Why do you do the work that you do? Are you creating an atmosphere that fosters and encourages questions that then will give you those teaching moments? And then are you thinking about questions that may come? The one question that everybody, as a parent, I think gets nervous about is the sex talk. When are we going to have that talk with our kids? And how, especially as a father to two girls, if I could be afraid of anything, even in the role that I am at Hope Resource Center, my biggest fear is that conversation with my daughters at some point in time. But there's so many other conversations that need to be had, not just about sex. That certainly is one that needs to be had. But there's a lot of conversations of creating an atmosphere where they're thinking about the future. They're setting goals. They're having dreams. They're thinking through this and what their future may be. I remember growing up, I wanted with all my heart to play in the NBA. And you know what? Until I was probably a sophomore in high school, I believed with all my heart I was going to play in the NBA. There was no question in my mind. And you know what my mom told me? My mom believed it. I don't know if she really believed it, but she told me that she did. Now, should we have had a serious conversation about that? That's a silly example. But yeah, at some point, she probably should have set me down and said, that's a great dream and goal, but what have you got to fall back on just in case that doesn't work? So are we creating an atmosphere of that where we can have those conversations and questions? Do they see us worship? Now you may say, "Well, they're in kids' church, or they're in their class while I'm worshiping." So no, but we are created to worship. So they're seeing you worship something. Now, if they're not in the church with you on Sunday morning in big church or the main worship, they may not see it in that setting, but are they seeing, what are your priorities? Are they seeing and thinking, well, you worship your phone, you worship the television, you worship the Vols, you worship fill in the blank. What are they seeing in those times? Are we talking and having conversations with them about worship and what that looks like and who we truly worship and how we worship? Are they seeing you read scripture? Are you praying? Because folks, they are watching. And so, yes, is some of that habit forming? Sure. But are some of those things good habits? Absolutely. I desire for my kids' testimony to be one that says, you know, I don't know, I just have always loved Jesus because my parents loved Jesus and that we talked about Jesus and we prayed and I've just always known Jesus. I would love for my kids to have the most boring testimony. Now, will that happen? I don't know. Because to be honest, there's times where I really am not good at this dad thing. And I fail miserably. And so I'm setting an example. Is it a good example or a bad example? Either way, it's an example. And they are watching. And they should see this as a love and not just a duty. So do they see you parenting them as just another chore of yours, something you got to check off your list? Or do they see this as, wow, he loves me so much? Do they see your worship as a duty or something you do out of love? So why do we struggle to have these moments with our kids? Why do we struggle to have these conversations with our kids? Because I'm telling you, they are longing for it. So make your home, see your home as a disciple-making factory. It is a place where you can create an atmosphere full of grace, full of mercy, and full of the gospel. Because if you can't share the gospel down the hall, you certainly can't share it in your neighborhood. You certainly can't share it at your work. You certainly can't share it overseas if you can't share it down the hall. And you know what I've found, even my kids are young, but what I've found is kids are full of grace. excuse me, that they're full of grace. At times, even when it's just amazing to me, you can get on to them, you can discipline them, and then 2 seconds later, they cuddle up in your lap loving on you. Because they know that it was done out of love. It was done for the right reason. So we should cultivate that and encourage that. Another question we have to ask ourselves is, are we hindering our child's growth? You know, in Matthew 9, Jesus told the disciples to let the children come in. And he rebuked them for hindering the kids. So Jesus wanted them to come. Are we fostering a desire in their hearts for the Creator? Or do we simply roll our eyes when they ask questions or when they seek advice? So are we hindering our child's growth? Do you celebrate their questions? Do they even feel comfortable enough to share with you? Do they feel comfortable enough to come to you about some tough things going on in their lives? Is the line of communication open at all times? And if you don't allow these conversations to happen, then who is? Where are they seeking that out? And so I would encourage you to create that atmosphere, an atmosphere that encourages godly conversation. So see your homes as the mission field. It is not just a place to forget all about the mission. We are our own mission in our homes. We have a lot of work to do. And we've been called to be good stewards of these gifts. We'll be back. If they could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, and we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks again for listening. If you've missed some of the show, we'll have it up on podcast hopefully tomorrow. You can find it at investinghope.com, also on iTunes. We'll have it up soon. So today we've been talking about parenting. So if we look at our pro-life ethic, it's important to also understand that when we have the opportunity to be parents, that is a gift, and we are to be good stewards of that gift. And so are we investing? This is the last point of the hour. Are we investing in our kids? So Matthew 25, we see verses 14 through 27, the parable of that really is just amazing. Three people are told to steward the possessions of a wealthy man while he's out of town. Two invest and one buries the money because he doesn't want to lose it. This man kept the treasure so it would be the same for the master. The other two wanted to invest and make the treasure better, bigger. So they fostered growth. Our children should be this as well. We don't want to hover over them so much that we prevent growth. We all have said at some point that we wish they could always be this size. But that is a little strange. We should wish for them to grow up and be godly men and women. We should not just wish it, but encourage it. So the guy that buried the treasure did so out of fear. We become helicopter parents and we hover out of fear because we're so terrified that something would happen and take away our precious child. And so we parent out of fear. But fear should not be our motivation. Our motivation should be love. And we love the King so much that we are going to grow the treasure he gave us. So we love the sovereign creator of the universe so much that we want to take the gift he gave us, invest in that gift, foster that gift, cultivate that gift so that it would grow into something God exalting. So we are going to invest in it so that it is glorifying to him. So the last question I have is, what are you doing to invest in your kids? Do you see the opportunities? Okay, I have more questions. Do you see the opportunities that God has given you as God exalting opportunities? Changing diapers. Do you see that as God exalting? That you're being a good steward of the gift that he's given you? I look forward to the times where I can change oil with my son. That's a simple thing, but that is something that I'm going to be able to use to cultivate and to grow and maybe have some good conversations over. Or are we parenting out of fear? Are we parenting out of embarrassment? This is something that I have to repent of quite often, is I find myself, especially in public, that my kids embarrass me. They're going to make me look bad, so I then parent out of that embarrassment. Well, that is not how we are to parent. So watch for those things. Celebrate the moments that you have. And praise God that you have that opportunity. And so our pro-life ethic must lead us to the point where we see parenting as an amazing gift. And we see our children as an amazing gift and an amazing opportunity to then pour into and cultivate and to grow them into God-exalting image bearers. Is that your goal today? You're not going to be perfect. You are fallen and broken. So let's start from a place of you understanding that in a lot of things, you are a failure just like me. So if we start there, we understand it is a tough road ahead of us. But your child could have been given to anyone else. But God said, it is for you. You've been given an amazing gift. How are you stewarding that gift? Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Talk to you soon. Like yes.